I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Okay, so the buzz is beginning, everybody. My name is Ronnie Jr. This is AfterBuzz. We're talking about Real Housewives of New York. This is episode 2 of this epic season. And you will see one of our panelists is missing, and we'll talk about that in one moment. But let's first talk about who is here, these beautiful smiles. Welcome, Chelsea. How are you feeling this afternoon?
Good. A little bit of a Roni hangover, so it's all good.
There we go. And we have our newest panelist, Ms. Allie. How are you doing over there?
Oh, I'm doing great. Excited to talk about the show with you guys.
There we go. Now, Leanne, the King of Bravo, is not with us, which we're all sad about. But I wanted to propose everyone a question. If Leanne, the King of Bravo, as you guys know, is the podcast called It's Bravo Betch. I don't say that well because I don't have like that Britney Spears in me. However, he has a podcast that he does on AfterBuzz that is all about Bravo. So my question to everyone listening on iTunes or YouTube or wherever is to say, where on the Bravo spectrum would you want to see Leanne as far as if he was casted in a reality show? I want you two to think about that. I think we'll get back to that later.
So tease. Keep the people on. Interested.
any Bravo show. It could be any, you know, something current, something that has been canceled. But Leanne has a very succinct personality. We miss him on the panel right now. So I think that will be fun to talk about later. And my other question to you two ladies. First of all, what do you think of the episode? And do you think that Sonia stirs the drink or does she stir the pot? I have an opinion, but I want to know what you think.
I thought the episode was okay. I really loved the first episode. The premiere kind of came out with a bang. So this one was a little bit, I want to say a letdown because the girls all, but it just wasn't as phenomenal as I would have liked it to be. Sonia definitely stirs, I'm going to say the drink. Like, I just feel like she just throws like just like enough out there to kind of get you curious. Yes. And these women stew as is. So like even just like the smallest little thing is going to make a big splash. So I don't think she's fully like stirring the pot, but she's definitely, you know, stirring the tea.
Gotcha.
I love this episode. I think I get what you mean. Like the first one was such a bang. It was so good. This one was a little more like chill, but I like, we're really getting a good sense of the girls like dynamic together. I'm loving Leah. Like, she's killing it. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good mix of like drama and fun. Pettiness, like all of it was there. I think Sonia stirs the drink and the pot. I think she... In a good way, like I think if she didn't stir the pot in that way, it would have been a boring episode. Like she kind of started all of the juiciness and she didn't do anything terrible. You know, she loves everyone.
But I also don't think she has bad intentions.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
She doesn't do it with like a vindictive smile. Like it's just her being her. Like she's chatting and you know?
Right. Sonia is a recluse and she has gas. So she means no harm. Unless Carol's talking about her and saying she's nice, nasty, but that's neither here nor there. I want to tell you guys, going off what Chelsea said, I do think the second episode lacked just a smidge, but let me tell you why, just in my opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like we need 2 episodes to be wherever, whatever franchise you're watching. If it's Beverly Hills, I think you need 2 Beverly Hills episodes before you go on a faux vacation. Now I understand Southampton's, you know, Sag Harbor is part of the fabric, but I would have rather watched the second episode because when you watch these shows, it reminds me of like a Sex and the City where that fifth character is the city. You know, you have Carrie, you have the other gals, but then you also have the city. That was my only gripe. I feel like we jumped to the Hamptons too early, and I believe I saw Lou on a live or an interview where she said, "Oh, we're gonna get like 3 or 4 Hamptons episodes," which I just felt like I wanted to work up to that. That's my only gripe with the episode. Asking you two, I want to skip over it because it's super quick. And she does not amuse me, but she may amuse you. Tinsley, the dogs, any interest in talking about that? I don't. Tinsley.
I just actually listened to a podcast interview that had Tinsley on it. And they were talking about the dogs and a little bit more of a background of it. So like, after I listened to that interview, the scenes with the dogs had a bigger appreciation for me, just because she was talking about how hard their lives were in China and how she rescued them, and how she has to be like, she's seeing all these like small progressions with these dogs, whether it be like they're not timid when she comes down to pet them anymore, or like, you know, they're a lot more comfortable with her because they came up in an abusive environment. So, listening to that interview gave me a lot more perspective and appreciation for the dog scenes. But I actually, Tinsley is, you know, 2-0 for me this season. There's something about her, like I've never been a Tinsley fan, as y'all know, but there's something that's like a little bit more endearing about her this season. She's a lot more confident within her own skin, and that's appealing for me to watch. So
agreed.
But I do hear you with like, do we care about the dogs? Like, I do get it, but like knowing that these dogs had like a tough life before they became Mrs. Tinsley Mortimer's strawberry and shortcake.
That's a great tidbit. And of course we at AfterBuzz always are very much for the rescues, and I didn't realize that. So thank you. Yeah. Allie, thoughts on her, because I want to move on to the next thing, which is the gals at City, is it Vineyard, talking about the tramp stamp, Scott, but did you have anything about the dogs real quickly?
I mean, really quickly, I think the dog scenes, I live for those. Like, I think they're my favorite. It shows their personality so much. Strawberry Shortcake, that whole scene was just adorable. And she's trying to like speak Chinese to her dog. Like, that was hilarious. I was like, oh my God. I don't know. Yeah, like the whole rescue thing. I know she promotes rescuing on her Instagram page, and she loves animals. And I'm a huge poodle person, so anytime Marley is on the screen, Strawberry Shortcake, I'm like, yes.
Are you, so
that's all I'll say there.
At 52 years ago, and I thought she was really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had a CW series, and it was very socialite. I agree with Chelsea said this is her best season. But it took a couple years for her to mold into that. Let's go into Scott. Let's go into Tramp Stamps, City Vineyard, right off the Hudson. I've had drinks there during Pride of World Pride this last year. So it is a place that you're going to feel really good. The stairs aren't that high, you guys. The stairs are not that high.
Is that in downtown?
So that's like near Tribeca. In fact, the time that I went there near Pride, we had a friend's birthday, and it was at the Pier near Tribeca. I think it's 26 or 25, and it's walking distance. It's all along the Hudson. It's really beautiful. West Side Highway.
Okay, yeah, so
I was severely drunk at the City Vineyard.
I was in New York recently, like back in January. And I was right there. And so like when I saw it, I was so happy. I was like, oh yeah, Mom. I was like, Mom, I was there.
Yeah, downtown Tribeca. Yep, right there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not one to judge for tattoos. I have one here. I have one on my ribs. I have one on my foot. I found Sonia's reaction to it to be really rude. And I was offended by it, per se. And it's just like, it makes me laugh. Like, I'm rewatching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right now, and watching New York. And these women are like balls to the wall, nasty, freaky, flash in the camera, doing all these like really like somewhat tacky things at times. But
getting arrested.
Yeah, getting arrested, but God forbid someone gets a tattoo and it's like clutching your pearls. It's like, are we serious? Like, who are we to judge? Like, you literally was like butt naked in a pool in Mexico humping Bethany like two seasons ago. Why are you judging someone for having a tattoo? Like, it blows my mind.
And she's like, getting it removed.
Yeah, so I was like, I was slightly offended, as you could probably tell. And just like, I just find it so funny, like rewatching these episodes of like these women like being so offended by certain words, and like now they're just like outrageous and crazy and mean, and this makes no sense.
All right,
I agree. It's 2020. I was like, you know, it was a fine storyline. Like, let's get to know Leah a little bit. She has a past. She has tattoos. I don't have any tattoos, but I love them. Like, I think that they're really cool. And who's judging? I don't know. I just agree. Everything that you said is so accurate. Like, these girls are ratchet. As much as they pretend they're these classy, like, amazing socialite ladies, like, they're crazy.
Yeah.
And I think a tattoo doesn't change anything. And I don't know. It was just interesting. Like, that was hilarious.
Ronnie, you look like you disagree.
No, well, I hate it because people will think I always ride for Sonia. Like, I always find an alibi for her. But what I will say is, while, yes, I don't judge tattoos per se, I don't have any at all. But boy, I wouldn't mind getting a tramp stamp. You know, that is here or there. But I want to at least give the credibility that Sonia does come from a different era. So, like, it wasn't, I didn't really, like, if it would have been somebody who was in Leah's age bracket, then I'd be like, okay, that's a little contradictory because you're over here nude, you're kissing dogs, you're kissing everybody, and yet the tattoo really bugs you. Like, that would throw me off. But she does come from a different time, and maybe tattoos were just always a thing that really, I don't know, maybe I'm
I mean, but is skinny dipping on camera with your friends acceptable at your age? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Absolutely.
It's very Vicky Gumbelson-esque of her to like to be like, oh, how dare you slick out with camera when I was dancing on a bar showing my fake boobies in Mexico 2 seasons ago. It's very like hypocritical.
Okay.
She's like, I would never sleep with anybody who has a tattoo. And I'm like, I'm sure you have. Like, I'd love to just see.
And they
showed their age. I agree, Ronnie. They showed their age. That's all.
Yeah.
Sonia, and I stand Sonia too.
Yes.
Like, come on. Like, yeah. Give the woman a break.
That's fair. That's as Chelsea always says, that's fair. I can see it. Okay, moving on. And also, as a reminder, we are doing, and this is for the live chat as well, over on YouTube, we are doing, Leanne is, of course, our fearless leader who's not here today, but he is the Bravo historian around AfterBuzz. And we wanted to do a question and answer. If Leanne could be cast on any Bravo series, what would it be? So we'll the three of us will answer that a little bit later. But let's talk about something that Leanne talks about quite a bit, and Lou and Ramona also talked about, and that is dick pics. You know, right to the vision board full of dick pics. So I liked this scene because Ramona and Luann, like, their relationship is always an interesting one, and I liked it when they both found a bond. You know, I think Lou is, of course, more timid, you know, when she thinks about, you know, dating and even just kind of being letting loose, but I thought that was great, and I think you should maybe do a vision board. I think Chelsea, as she said last week, is a spoken woman, but if you're not a spoken woman or man, you know. Oh,
this actually literally just sparked something, a memory. well, first of all, I loved how she called it a storyboard, not a vision board. Like, I thought that was so Ramona. Secondly, I did have a vision board, and I still do like vision stuff as well, but I had a picture of, like, this sounds so horrible, of an interracial couple on my vision board, and a year or so later came my white
son.
And so, like, that's
amazing. I believe in that. The universe is listening.
There you go.
I have my vision boards in my room right there. I'm bored during quarantine. I just created it like this week. So I totally believe in that. I thought that whole scene was hilarious. Yeah,
I loved it.
They were good together. It got you amped for Southamptons. And it was odd to me because Ramona's usually, you know, she's very particular. Last year it was the swim lessons and new furniture. And then this year it's like, everyone come to my home. So I guess you never know what you're going to get with Ramona. Let's talk about the transportation of it all, because you've got a couple, you know, those three and a half hour drives out in Long Island. You know, I haven't been to the Hamptons part, but I've been to the North Fork and other places out there. Those drives are those 3.5 hours. And on this show, these conversations start bubbling. So you got Tinsley and Leah talking sort of about Dorinda, you know, first impressions, et cetera, et cetera. And then you got Sonia and Dorinda. They're basically trying to understand Leah. It just reminds me again, as I said a bit ago, how when Carol was, I believe, with Tinsley and, well, I think it was Dorinda, and they were talking about, oh, Sonia's nice nasty. Like, those drives are pretty epic. So I did like to see that. Thoughts on that transportation and these bit of conversations that are brewing up, Chelsea?
I mean, it's just typical. You go on a road trip, you talk trash, or you know, kind of psychoanalyze certain situations in the group. Kara.
Got it.
Hamptons, yeah.
I liked it too. I liked it too.
I thought it was trendy.
Wait, what did you say? My ears cut.
Oh, no. I was just saying how much I like Leah's hat. That was my biggest takeaway from the road trip to the Hamptons.
Yes. No, I agree. I think that it's the perfect way to like set the whole trip. It sets the scene. Hearing the girls talk, you kind of figure out like, okay, they're a team. And then they get in the house and it all really doesn't even matter. It all just gets said. It all comes out. It's beautiful.
Yeah, the bubbling of it all. So what poison do you guys choose? I'm drinking some Merlot at the moment. What alcoholic beverage really sets the tone for the two of you? And what do you think about what the gals were saying?
Rosé!
Especially in the summertime. Yeah, you're right about that.
A nice rosé. You know, I don't know. I love me a good glass of wine. I'll probably pour me some wine when we get off here. I also love a great margarita, whether that be like a traditional marg or a spicy marg or like a cucumber margarita, like so tequila essentially. So I don't know. I go between tequila and wine. That's been my quarantine juggle.
Love that.
Very good.
Yeah.
You got to try it all. I'm sticking with the red wine at the moment, but you're right. Rosé is really the best for the summer.
Rosé is good. I do usually lean more white wine, but with quarantine now and we have like nothing to do, I'm trying to like mix it up and just try different things. But I do miss a good margarita. I miss like going to Mexican restaurants and Taco Tuesdays. I miss all that.
Soon enough, we will all be there. Speaking of what was deemed as nice nasty, I think Ramona's got a little bit of nice nasty, ladies. Let me tell you what I think. So she's welcoming of everybody, but it's very Ramona ways. You know, Ramona, would it be Ramona without having a tacky comment about, well, you know, my other friends, they know how to entertain. They know how to do this. They have etiquette, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Ramona is so, she makes these backhanded comments and they're not very nice. But then she tries to be welcoming and then she puts Lou in the dungeon. So I wanted to ask you two, what do you guys think about Ramona and her hosting abilities in this situation in Southamptons?
Allie, you go first.
Okay. First of all, the part when she basically like guilted Tinsley and Leah into cleaning up not even their own mess, like all the other girls, I was like, oh my gosh, there's some like hierarchy going on here because all the other girls got to like go take a nap and like walk away. And then she's just left with Tinsley and Leah and she's like, oh my gosh, nobody cleans up after themselves. They're like, we'll do it. Like that was so awkward, but also like so Ramona that I enjoyed it and loved it. I was like, that's kind of funny. Like ask for help when you need it. And they helped because they're nice. But Lou getting placed in the basement, which they called the lower level, which I love. I thought that was hilarious. You know, I'm pretty indifferent about it. Like Lou obviously was rude and, you know, says little comments, but also she didn't get the best room in the house. I mean, it was like TVs from the early 2000s that didn't even work and bad carpet. So I get it from their perspective. Like I would love to have that room. I mean, it looks amazing, but I don't know. I kind of understood where Lou was coming from. I thought it was just funny after the fish room thing. Like, of course they're going to just keep giving her like the lower level room. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I definitely do think it was like a certain level of hazing of Ramona, like having Tinsley and Leah clean up from the girls' lunch or whatever earlier. And I was just like I loved how she's like, oh, none of my friends do this. And they're like cleaning up. She's like, I'm just gonna sit here. And I'd be like, what the fuck? And she's like, you left something. You'll get it when you come back. And I was just like, Ramona, like, come on, girlfriend. And then I mean, this comes up in literally every Housewives franchise, and it's a very common thread in the New York City franchise when it comes to the rooms. There is literally not a bad room in any of the houses or hotels or vacations that they go on. And it's just like the lack of one, self-awareness, and two, just like general appreciation that your friend is hosting you at their house. And they, I thought, I'm listening to Ramona's sentiment of like, well, I'm giving you a room that's like away from everybody. You won't be like, it's quieter. Like this, I think you would like this better. she obviously came at it from a good place. Like, she wasn't throwing her down there just to be rude. Like, she was giving her that room because she thought that that was a room in which Luann would appreciate. And then for her to just be so nasty about, like, that's what I simply don't understand. Like, there are so many other things in the world that you could be upset about, but you're upset that you're sleeping in a room in the basement, the lower level. Like, come on, Luann. Like, just, like, take the pole out your ass. Like,
One thing you could always count on with Chelsea is you don't let up on Lou. You are very authentic. And I know me, and especially Leanne, we, like with my Sonorita, I tend to like argue out Lou. Like, I tend to like make excuses for her. So I like that you're on the panel because Chelsea's always like, no. And thinking about it. Oh, go ahead.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, we said it last week, how it was like, Ramona is who she is, but never let her leave the show because she is really good for the show, whether you like her or not. But I mean, the sentence I said a second ago, she is nice, nasty, meaning she does a lot of stuff. But I do agree with you, Chelsea, 100%, that was a great attempt by Ramona. Ramona said, well, this is the more massive space, you know, it's more secluded, gives you your like private energy. Yeah. That was actually very nice. Now, me personally, having lived in four New York City apartments and windows were very lacking, I'm a window freak, so I wouldn't necessarily have loved it either because of the, you know, being kind of secluded off in dungeon style. But, you know,
it is. If we're going to talk about best rooms, though, like, I think Dorinda got
the best. Dorinda had the best, yes.
Yeah, I like Dorinda's room the most.
That's cute.
But yeah, I just like, I thought that Ramona was coming from a good place. And so for Luann to get so like fish room 2.0, I was
right.
Come on. Like,
well, and she did classic Luann, which I do love. This was very Countess, if you ask me. She managed to flip it and she didn't waste but no time to say, excuse me, Ramona, I'm freezing downstairs. Can you alter the air conditioning? I thought that was a bit petty, but I loved everything about it. So I'll give that to Luann.
That was
definitely a little petty.
I oftentimes, ladies, find myself wound tight. I always say I'm the perfect candidate to smoke weed, although because I'm so wound tight, I don't smoke weed. Dorinda is also wound tight. And let's talk about some of the things that she's got going on. The drama or the responsibility of the contractor. She's putting on this energy of being a huge host party, dinner party type gal. You know, the home repair, of course, you know, takes a lot of your time and being a mother. And then the injured ribs. And then it wasn't but a couple seasons ago, she had the toe was injured. Dorinda's taken a little bit of a beating. What do you guys think is the reason why? Is it all John?
Okay, so this was like one of the, I guess there's a lot of things that bothered me this episode, from the tattoos to the room to Dorinda. I will say that I kind of just feel like she, there has to be something more going on other than her house in the Berkshires being renovated, because for her to be so angry because she's stressed about a house renovation just doesn't add up or make any sense to me whatsoever. So I don't know what it is. I'm kind of over. I feel like I'm going to have a hard time with Dorinda this season.
Yes. My only, not disagreement, but my only difference to that is one thing I always appreciate with Dorinda is that she gives with her whole heart, and then she kind of fails with her whole heart also. So I like that we see it all. And, you know, she's kind of, I guess there's a relatability that I have with that, because sometimes I try too hard on certain things and then I'm the one who's left mad and angry and upset later. So I think I see that in me, some of my own faults. So that's why it's comforting to watch it on the show, you know.
I kind of feel like where Dorinda is this season is where Lou was last season. And she's just kind of acting out on the girls because of her own issues. There's definitely more going on than just the fact that she's renovating her New York City apartment as well as her like country home. Like, she literally just makes calls. I don't know. I think there's a lot of stuff coming up with John. Maybe she's missing Richard. I don't know. But just a lot of it. And I do think it's only episode 2. We have a long ways to go. I think definitely more stuff is going to start surfacing, because her behavior is just like, there needs to be a reason. It's just too, she's being a bully. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, not really there for her right now either.
As I was and like her talking about how stressful it was with the renovation of the Berkshire house, I was just like, this is such rich people problems. Yeah. Like for you to be so angry.
Yeah, but Chelsea, that's all relative. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it is. Like I totally understand, but it's just like for you to lash out on people because of a renovation for your house. Like I don't know. It kind of just like there's right. So many greater things to be angry about. And that's why I feel like there's more to her anger than just this house. But that was like the first thing I was just like, yeah, I understand it's stressful. Moving is stressful. I could understand the flooding, and there's probably a lot of like sentimental stuff that she lost in the flood too. So right. I get all that.
Maybe some Richard stuff. Or
yeah. Edith. So yeah, I totally understand. There's probably a lot of stuff that happened that she hasn't spoken about, but that's what like for her to just be like, I'm stressed about the house. Like it feels like there's a lot more behind it than the house. You know?
Well, and that's why I think we need to take a beat, like, you know, situations like right now where everyone is used to moving so quickly. When you have that moment, you could stop and say, where's my misdirected anger? And you make such a great point, Chelsea and Allie as well. We saw on the trailer that Dorinda is going to sit with a counselor or a therapist or whatnot and say that, I think it's, I can't remember what the soundbite was, but it was something like, well, it's not really this, but it's that. So there is some uncovering that she's going to do. So I say that to say, I still like Dorinda. Not a great performed episode. She definitely was mean, and I don't like that.
Yeah, just mean.
Big shout out real quick to all the people on the iTunes and the YouTube. Last week was the first episode, and there was a, you know, I'm going to talk like Ramona very confidently, what was an outstanding reply to what we did as a panel, and they liked, you know, Allie, new, young, fresh, you know, Chelsea, always going to give it to Lou, whatever I bring to the table. And of course, King Leon as the Bravo historian. So thank you to everyone who watches over there.
Yes.
Let's do a moment that I really enjoyed, which is everyone is getting so gassed up with Leah. Everyone loves Leah. And this is not just on the series, the girls. This is, I think Casey Wilson was on Watch What Happens Live. She loves Leah. Like the reaction has been very, very good. So I like that we don't see just the funny, like sexual talking of Leah. I like that we also see her being vulnerable with Ramona and talking about moving out at 17, dealing with her daughter's drama and how that affected her. And then we get to the tattoo. So what did you guys think about seeing a little lighter side of Leah in episode 2? I thought it was so perfect, great, nicely timed, and gave some dimension to what we're going to see.
Yeah, you know, I think the production and the series is doing a really good job of really introducing her in the right way to us and allowing us to get to know her I feel like we're getting a lot of really intimate tidbits about her that's allowing us to really become attached to her a lot more quickly than say a Tinsley. That also is a lot of kudos to her for opening up about those things in her life, which Tinsley was very hesitant to do a few seasons back when she first joined the show. I think Leah's a very interesting and complex person, and I feel like a lot of people relate to her. Like I've never been arrested or abused a police officer, but there's just something so badass about her that like, I feel like I can relate to. And I think that's for me is her, the way that she's able to take bad situations and turn them into something good. How she said the situation with her getting arrested at 17 or whatever, how old she was.
I think it was 17, yeah.
And then taking that money from the settlement to create a business and a life for herself. Like that's literally taking lemons and making lemonade, you know? So it's just like, there's something about her, like a resilience about her that's really admirable and that I respect and I really enjoy.
Yeah, I honestly completely agree with everything you just said. I think Leah is the perfect new addition to this show. Like she's just so fresh. And again, I cannot relate to her and many ways, but for some reason I still connect to her and I'm like, yeah, she's a badass. Like she's just cool, but she's real. Like she's raw. She's not scared to just put herself out there. But she's also like calm and collected in a way. Like I was shocked by the pre-dinner little tiff that she had with Dorinda and how quickly she was like, let's just start over. And they went to dinner and like things were fine. Like I don't think any of those girls are used to that. And I feel like she just holds her own. She's cool. I don't know. I really like her though.
I'll get to the tattoo in a second and the pre-dinner. Going off what you guys said about her just like being the addition. Love her, of course. Still think we needed room for a part-time, maybe, you know. We don't need this to be like Housewives of Atlanta where there's 36 cast members, but I would have still liked to see, and I said it last week, Barbara, maybe we'll see where Elise steps in. I think in the preview, Elise steps in and is kind of going at Sonia. So while I love Leah, I still felt like we needed something else. Barb would have been my first choice. I said it last week. Okay. I had to say it again.
I want Barb to come back too.
It was so great. And the reason I say that is because I think Leanne said last week that he watched the episode four times. And at that time, when he said that, I had only watched it twice. So then I went back to watch it a third time. And at that third time, while I uncovered so many other nuggets, I was also like, gosh, I really do miss Bethany. And it's Leah alone can't replace that. You know, you need something else. So I do wish going to next season that they could add somebody else in there. So the Sonia spilling the beans, we kind of chatted about that earlier. I personally, it sounds like Chelsea personally, even Allie, we don't think that it was messy by Sonia. But the tattoo drama did become a thing. And then that's where we get this what did you guys think about the commentary? What did you guys think about the actual, what she said? Like, what do you think about Dorinda really making fun of her and saying, you know, oh, just bend over. Like, it was a bit aggressive. And the way she put her hand on Leah's shoulder, not something you should do to somebody you just met, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a Dorinda kept saying that she was repeating something that Sonia had said to her, but there is a complete difference in tone, which made what Sonia said funny and laughable, and what made Dorinda, how she delivered it, like kind of like sharp and really harsh and hard to kind of like take in. So Dorinda was definitely coming from an angrier place than Sonia was. So it was just like, so I totally understand why Leah took offense to what Dorinda said as opposed to what Sonia said, even though they were kind of similar things, but they were just said completely different.
And also shame on Dorinda for bringing Sonia down.
Yeah, throwing her under the bus.
Whereas on the flip side, they bring Sonia down for, like, you know, Sonia never does that with them. You know, she takes the blame for virtually everything. And it's like, she never says, well, you know, Dorinda told me. Like, I didn't like that.
It was, and I agree with you, Allie, like, Leah handled herself so nicely and so, like, I don't want to say maturely. She just, like, handled herself. Like, she was, she was stoic. She got her point across. She wasn't a pushover. She didn't let Dorinda walk all over her, which can be very easy to do because she's so intimidating.
Yeah.
So, Leah was so, like, she was just the better one in that argument. And you could tell she was winning the argument because Dorinda could tell because, like, I don't know, there was just something so badass about her. Like, I think Dorinda kind of was just, like,
Dorinda didn't even know what to do. She's like, okay.
I can't yell my way out of this argument. Yeah. Like, I can't yell my way to this victory, like, with this girl, you know?
Yeah.
Most of these cast members on this show and maybe the other franchises, they are used to, like, I'm going to go one up. And Leah, I think it is a coup to last week, how she doesn't really know the show that much. You know what I mean? She's saying, what is a Giovanni? I've never even heard of that. Like, what? So she's coming into it a bit more authentic, which is really fun. And I do think, I mean, from my 4 and 2, make six years that I've lived in New York, and both in Harlem and in Brooklyn, I think Leah's very, like, that deadpan, like, I don't understand what you mean. Like, what's the funniest thing I heard all episode? You know, Dorinda's making this crazy little joke, and Leah's like, I don't know what that means.
Oh, about the lineup thing?
Yeah. But that,
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, that deadpan kind of reaction is, to the knowledge that I've seen, is a very New York thing. I got one of my sweetest friends, a gal who's we've used to do online television back like 10 years ago. She has this exact same personality, sweetest, warmest heart, my friend. But when I speak with her, deadpan face, very like, okay. And if I get hype, she's like, just asks basic questions. It feels very authentic. That's all I'm saying. To me.
And I don't think Dorinda, like, knew how to respond to that, you know? Like, she's used to catching people off guard, and then this girl caught her off guard. So it was kind of just like, Team Leah all the way, you know?
Real quick, I want to give a big shout out to our engineer. Our engineer is Ryan, and it's very important to do that in these moments because obviously there is no studio. Everyone's just trying to get this content all together, talk about Real Housewives of New York. And so thank you to Ryan. We are wrapping up the recap portion, but let me do two more little final thoughts. Ramona as the socialite didn't bother me, you two. It did not. I have my issues with Ramona typically. I think when I rewatched last week's episode, there's something that I really enjoyed about Ramona, all of her friends, the very niche Upper East Side elegance that it is. Obviously, they're not the nicest people, but I had no problem with Ramona being the socialite. And I thought the other girls were being a little tacky, and that's not something I usually defend. So do you agree with what I'm saying? Or
agreed.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I agree too. They were coming up to say hello to her. It wasn't like she was going out of her way. Yeah. Like these people were like, oh my God, Ramona. And like, she went to say hello. I really took great offense to Sonia's comment about go to LA for this type of stuff or whatever. As an Angeleno, please don't come for me. So like, I did not like Sonia's snide remark.
Sorry,
we're nice. Like, but, what? But say hello to our friends.
You didn't get what she was trying to say at all.
I get what she was trying to say, but I think as someone, Ali, are you from California? Where are you?
I'm
from?
Not. But okay, so. You can go ahead.
I don't, like, I'm from here, so, like, I take great pride in, like, Californians and Angelinas as a people, and I think we get a really bad rap, and I don't appreciate it. So, I just had to say I did not appreciate what she was saying. I understand, but that's not coming from people that are true blue Californians.
Agreed. Although, Chelsea, I'm going to jump in the mud, and as a, just like you, grew up in Southern California, spent the 6 years in New York, I kind of still rocked with Sony. What? Oh my God. How does this always happen?
You always are going to stick up.
Yeah, you just have to. It's in your DNA.
When Sonia Rita says jump, I say how high. I didn't have a problem with it. And I hope that doesn't make it look like I'm anti-Cali and more New York. It's not the case. But anyways.
I just want to jump in really quick. One more thing about Ramona. I was on her side about the whole socialite thing until she got on her phone and was trying to text or call other friends. Like, I understood the woman being upset and telling her to be present at the dinner table. Like, that would have upset me. Like, you're already looking for, like, your next thrill. Like, we're not good enough for you to, like, focus your attention on us for an hour at dinner. Like, I understood that. Everything else I thought they were being a little bit rude about, but... That was the one thing.
The part that I had a challenge with Ramona, I think it was, I don't know if it was last season or the season before, where she had like one birthday party with her cool friends and then another, that kind of stuff I don't like. But that particular dinner, I didn't have a problem with. My favorite thing, or Ali, did you have one more take on that?
I agree. I think Leah won the episode performance-wise, and I put Ramona second. I just thought Ramona was really entertaining and just herself, even though sometimes it was a little uncomfortable. But I don't know. I liked Ramona's performance. And everything she did was fine.
Sorry, I'm just corresponding here. Yeah. Double-checking something as far as our time logistics. I want to talk about the amazing Countess Luann toast in 1 second. But I want to make a comment real quick, and... It's alluding to what we talked about last week, how New York doesn't always have to be drama. It's one of the only franchises that could get away with it. I liked their dinner because it did remind me of, I think Bethany had a birthday party once. I think it was in the Hamptons as well, or Sag Harbor. And I remember, although she showed up early and the rest of the girls were kind of rude in that way by showing up late, it was a fun dinner. And I like this batch of women to have a fun time. And I thought that's what we saw on this particular dinner was that fun and that humor. Now let's get to what I love about Luann is, first of all, I like what she calls them. Well, you know, you girls don't understand what I was going through. When she calls them you girls drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And the opulence that is Luann and the well, you just don't understand what I have been through. It's maybe hard if you knew her in real life, but on a television show, yeah. I'm eating it up. Chelsea, thoughts?
I mean, it was typically Luann. Like, I was sitting watching the episode with my mom, and she's like, I'd like to propose a toast. And then she starts talking, and we were like, this is a toast? Like, why is it taking so long? But I thought, overall it was really a good thing that she said, where she kind of finally came around to appreciating the woman for all that they did for her last season and all that they put up with her for last season. So mm-hmm. I thought it was a fair toast. I wish it was a little bit more concise, but
yeah, but I'm glad she did it. I agree. It was, Dorinda's like, can I just set my glass down? Like, this is a lot. But I think that she had to say it. She said it. She got what she needed out. And now we can move on and put that old Lou behind us. Hopefully she'll offer something else to this season. We'll see. But and, I don't know.
And it almost makes me think what Sonia said to Lou in the opening of the series, really. Mm-hmm. Hey, you left us by the wayside. It makes me think that Lou was kind of listening, which I like that. Any comments? We kind of alluded to a lot of what's coming up on the previews. I said how Elise and Sonia or whatever. Do you guys have any comments on previews? Because I want to scoop through that pretty quickly and get to some of our segments. What are you guys looking forward to next episode?
I'm interested in to see how this whole Luann departure kind of happens. Like, does she just bounce and leave, or did she already have a prior obligation? The whole email. I'm curious to see how that all transpires.
Time out. Now, wait a minute and time out. So Chelsea, okay, this is for iTunes people, you'll have to hop over to YouTube. Chelsea repped LA so tough, but do you see that she's wearing a New York City shirt?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that.
You just realized it?
I, in the background of my shot, too, have a New York City hat. I mean, of course.
Okay.
I'm only wearing it for New York because of the show. I'm going to take it off as soon.
I noticed it earlier. I was like, oh, cute shirt, but like New York did not even, wow. Okay.
It's because we're recapping last work.
Chelsea rides hard for LA and we love it. So
California and, girl through and through.
I love it. An authentic one. Yes. Not a transplant. Yeah. Yes.
No.
We like that. She grew the roots here for sure. Any excitement, Allie, for next episode? What are you looking forward to?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot. I'm just eager to see how all these girls like grow together. The Luann thing, does she drink? Remember that one like soundbite or sneak peek where she's drinking again? So I'm really eager to see where that goes, how Tinsley is going to depart, where Leah's going to fall, just all of it.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. Big shout out to our live chat. They are quite active, so we appreciate that. We're going to do the Leah question that we asked at the very beginning in a second. But first, a little bit of news and gossip. I'll lead with a couple things I have, and if any of you two want to jump in, please do. So two things I want to mention in news and gossip. One is, if you are missing Bethany, and I know lots of people are, of course, she is doing such a great job with Be Strong. Now, if you want a more in-depth conversation, has nothing really to do with the Housewives, but is about Be Strong and everything that she's done on the front lines for the pandemic, jump over to AfterBuzz TV creator Maria Menounos and her podcast, which is called Better Together. I'll say that slowly. Better Together with Maria Menounos. I believe the show has extended where they're doing it not just once a week, they're doing it a bunch, and it's all really great guests that are sort of answering the tougher questions in a tougher time. But on the fun side of it, Bethany, of course, is going to be on the show, was on the show about a week and a half ago. So please go and find it where all podcasts are downloadable. Speaking of podcasts, I want to also mention Leah is new to the Housewives franchise, but myself personally, I have been following her for about 3 years as she is the co-host on Improper Etiquette. So the name of the show is called Improper Etiquette. It is with Laura Stiles, who is the morning show radio host on Hot 97 in New York City. So you could imagine, even just seeing the two episodes so far, Leah gives a little Improper Etiquette. So if you want more Leah and want to kind of backtrack her creative process with the podcast leading up to Housewives, make sure you check her out. That's Leah McSweeney and Laura Stiles at Improper Etiquette. Ladies, do you have any bits of news?
I just, this is cross Housewife news really quickly, but our girl Jennifer Aiden from New York Housewives in New Jersey has been diagnosed with COVID-19. So want to wish her well and hope that she's doing well with her children and that doesn't really spread too much and that she recovers fully.
I hadn't heard that, and I really like Jennifer this season. She really stepped it up. So best wishes to her and prayers.
Yes.
I hadn't heard that yet. Wow.
Yeah, she announced it on her Instagram yesterday.
Ellie, or do you want to go to the Giovanni moment, Chelsea?
Let's go to Giovanni.
Let's go to Giovanni. Yes.
Who's yours?
So just like to introduce this little segment that we're doing, our Giovanni moment of the night. So whatever moment we are feeling of the night, whether it be funny or, you know, sensitive, heartfelt, whatever. My Giovanni moment of the night is when Ramona does a lap around the restaurant to look for men, because that's relatable.
I like the way her body, her body moves almost as if she was on the runway some years
ago. Yeah, she was like, you know, and just like the eyes, like scouting. Like, I know we've all been in that situation when we've gone out and like you first get to the club and you just like kind of do a lap. You scout the scene, you see, you look for your prey. And that's what I was doing.
Here love
for
it. It
was amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's see. There were a lot of moments. I'm going to just go with a lighthearted again. I already said this, but I know you guys disagree, but I love Tinsley and I loved her moment with the dogs. I think that really like step away from Scott, step away from the drama. Like that was her and she was just being silly and like talking to Siri and trying to speak Chinese to her dogs that she bought in China. I was like that for me, I was in that moment.
No, that's great. I have no problem with that. I think that this is why our panel is different. We've got all walks of life and all different opinions. That was very good. And the tidbit about them being rescues did change my mind, I will say. My moment has to be what I alluded to a little bit earlier, how Dorinda felt like she was going to come in gangbusters and like hit soundbite on top of soundbite. Dorinda's done this for some time. And she's hitting you with this and hitting you with this and Leah and Leah and Leah and Leah. And then all of a sudden she hits you with the, I can pick you out of a lineup. And, you know, she's like dangling her hand, head's kind of cocked in a little bit for only Leah to say, I don't know what that means. In the most deadpan energy was giving me everything. So that was my Giovanni moment of the episode. We're going to start to wrap real quick. So the question is, and we'll be rejoined next week by our host, which is Leon Castillo. It's Bravo Betch. If you want to see his show, he talks about all shows Bravo, from Vanderpump to Housewives of Atlanta and everything in between. Married to Medicine, Million Dollar Listing. So check that out as well. But you two ladies, if you were to be able to cast Leon on any Bravo series, what show would it be? Allie, I'll start with you.
That's so hard, but I'm just going to go, I mean, honestly, any of them, but I'm going to just say Vanderpump because I love Vanderpump and he's awesome. So let's just go big. We're gonna put him on Vanderpump.
I was gonna say Vanderpump too, but just, you know, to switch things up, would love to see him as a great friend of on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or Real Housewives of New York. I think Leon will not stir the drink, but he will stir the pot. Yeah. And I would love that for them. So
a friend of, because you know, usually Atlanta had Miss Lawrence, you know, like there's always males can be, even though the house husbands, they could be in there. Going off what you said, Chelsea, he does interact with a lot of housewives of Orange County. So maybe that would be the one. So my pick was about to be Vanderpump, but I don't want to steal Allie's choice.
No.
I have talked in nauseam with Leon about how I almost feel like at times Summer House is more intriguing than Vanderpump. As a Vanderpump stan, though, I'm not being a hater. Sheena and Stassi are my favorites. But because you already said Vanderpump, I want to put Leon, not really fish out of water, because of course he's always in New York as well, but I want to put him in the Summer House, especially this time, because we've dealt with the quarantine. Oh, so when he come out, he would stir the drink, the pot, spank some asses. So it would be beautiful.
Yes.
If you guys want to reply, just go ahead and add that on iTunes and our YouTube. Any last thoughts, you two, as we're wrapping up?
No. I think our recap was better than the episode. So that's awesome.
That's so much fun. I love just talking about it all. Like, let's just process what we just saw out. Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh, that was funny. All right, I may watch the episode again so I can see my Sonia Rita. And thank you guys. This was Chelsea Stark Jones. Your social media handles are?
You could find me on Instagram at C_S Jones and on Twitter at the LB Playbook, which I'm going to be more active on.
I know. I tweeted you last week and it was like, she's not really moving. Last tweet was like in 2018.
Yeah.
And you can find me at Allie James on all social media, including TikTok. Yes, I'm really bored right now and doing all the TikToks. So Follow me.
Very good. Maybe we'll all do it. I don't know the TikTok yet, but maybe we'll do a TikTok where we'll all do a character. I'll be Sonia.
We have to.
Yeah, yes, we'll figure that out. Okay. My social media is going to be at Randomly RJ. That's Twitter, Instagram. And the new YouTube page that I've just created is Randomly Ronnie Jr. I banked about 7 interviews. And once I get to 15, we're going to release them all at once, which will be the following Monday from now. So go subscribe my brand new channel. There's a trailer up there, Randomly Ronnie Jr. Go search it and it'll be beautiful. All right. Thank you, Ryan, for doing a great job on the producing. And of course, to Maria and Kevin and everyone at AfterBuzz. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.